City Council will come back from recess, and we have one more item on the agenda. Is that right?
Or two? Actually, two, but they're two, related.
Two items on the agenda. They are related. Carla, would you please read the title for item number 456 and 457?
Consider the proposal of Samuel Penfield, applicant, and the recommendation from the hearings officer for approval of a comprehensive plan amendment and zoning map amendment with adjustments for a three-story multi-dwelling, nine-unit condominium at 5012-5014 Northeast 26th Avenue, LU 09133971, CPZCAD. 457, amend the comprehensive plan map designation and change zoning at 5012 and 5014 Northeast 26th Avenue, with adjustments at the request of Samuel Penfield, LU 09133971, CPZCAD.
Harry?
Item 456 is an evidentiary hearing. This means you may submit new evidence to the council in support of your arguments. This is a consideration of a hearings officer recommendation on a comprehensive plan map amendment. Testimony concerning the hearings officer recommendation will be heard as follows. We will begin with a staff report by BDS staff for approximately 10 minutes. Following the staff report, the City Council will hear from interested persons in the following order. The applicant will go first and will have 15 minutes to address the Council. After the applicant, the Council will hear from individuals or organizations who support the applicant's proposal. Each person will have 3 minutes to speak. Next, the Council will hear from persons or organizations who oppose the applicant's proposal. Again, each person will have 3 minutes. If there was testimony in opposition to the applicant's proposal, the applicant will have 5 additional minutes to rebut testimony given in opposition to the proposal. The Council may then close the hearing and deliberate. The Council may vote today on the hearings officer recommendation. If the vote is a tentative vote, the Council will set a future date for adoption of findings and a final vote on the hearings officer's recommendation. If the Council takes a final vote on the findings and recommendation today, that will conclude the matter before the City Council. I'd like to share several guidelines for those who will be addressing the Council today. Any letters or documents you wish to become part of the record should be given to the Council clerk, that's Carla sitting right over there, after you testify. Similarly, the original or a copy of any slides, photographs, drawings, maps, videos, or other items you show to the Council during your testimony, including PowerPoint presentations, should be given to the Council clerk to make sure they become part of the record. Any testimony, arguments, and evidence you present must be directed toward the applicable approval criteria for this land use review or other criteria in the city's comprehensive plan or zoning code that you believe apply to the decision. The BDS staff will identify the applicable approval criteria as part of their staff report to the Council. You must raise an issue clearly enough to give the Council and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue. If you don't, you will be precluded from appealing to the Land Use Board of Appeals based on that issue. Additionally, if the applicant fails to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with enough specificity to allow the Council to respond, the applicant will be precluded from bringing an action for damages in circuit court to challenge the conditions of approval. Those are the disclosures that I need to make. Any questions?
Do any members of the council wish to declare a conflict of interest? No councils have conflicts of interest to declare. Do any members of the council have ex parte contacts to declare or information gathered outside of this hearing to declare? No council members have ex parte contacts to declare. Do the council members have any other matters that need to be discussed before we begin this hearing? All right, we'll begin with a staff report followed by the applicants, supporters for the applicants, opponents of the applicants, rebuttal by the applicants, council discussion, decision making. Hi.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Sylvia Kate, the Bureau of Development Services planner assigned to this review. I'd also like, before I get started, to bring your attention to the fact that Kurt Kruger and Bob Haley are with us today representing Portland Transportation, and Frank Charbonneau is with us today as well for the applicant representing, he's the applicant's transportation engineer, so if there are any questions you have related to transportation issues, we've got experts in the room. I know you've had a long day, so I'm going to try to get through this very quickly for you. The applicant requests a comprehensive plan map amendment and concurrent zone map amendment to change the current designation and zoning on the site from AR, attached residential, which is the designation, and R2.5AH, which is the zoning, to urban commercial, which is the designation, and storefront commercial, CSH, the H is the aircraft landing overlay zone. The proposed storefront commercial zone will match the base zone of the abutting lot to the south of the site. The applicant has also proposed a specific development concurrent with this zone change request. The applicant proposes a three-story, nine-unit condominium, which is allowed in the proposed storefront commercial zone. The proposed development will require two adjustments to applicable development standards, which are as follows. An adjustment to reduce the building setback along the northern property line, which abuts a residential zone, from the required 11 feet to 7 feet. And an adjustment to reduce the width of the required landscaping along the northern property line from 5 feet to 3 feet 4 inches. The hearings officer's report contains findings for all of the applicable approval criteria. His report also addresses the concerns and objections raised before him at the public hearing on February 17th of this year. The site is a 4,000 square foot lot developed with a one-story duplex built in 1979. The site is zoned R2.5AH, which is a single dwelling zone that allows attached townhouses. The site has frontage on Northeast 26th Avenue, a local service street, and is approximately 100 feet north of Northeast Alberta, which is a designated community transit street. The proposed zoning, as shown here, is CH, as I discussed previously. The storefront commercial zone is intended to preserve and enhance older commercial areas that have a storefront character. The zone intends that new development in these areas be compatible with the desired character. The desired character includes areas which are predominantly built up with buildings close to and oriented towards the sidewalk, especially at the corners, and the development is intended to be pedestrian-oriented, and buildings with a storefront character are encouraged. Residential is allowed with no limitations. This is a site plan that shows a proposed footprint of the building. As described in the hearings officer's report, the building is proposed to be set back 3 feet from the south property line to provide some space between the proposed building and adjacent commercial zoned lots to the south. A 7 foot setback from the north would allow landscaping and a pedestrian path to the main entrances of the ground floor units.
What are currently on the lots to the south?
One lot is essentially paved but vacant. There's some storage of trucks and dumpsters. The next lot to the east, and I'll have pictures of the site and vicinity, is a Quonset kind of structure that I believe is a recycling center.
You have photos.
Okay. Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. This is the proposed north facade of the building. And here we see the two elevations. The one on the left would be the facade that fronts Northeast 26th, and the one on the right is the building's facade that would face the alleyway that's to the east. And this is the facade that would face the abutting commercially zoned lots to the south. The hearings officer found that the proposal is, on balance, supportive of the comprehensive plan, goals, and policies, and with a condition of approval, meets all of the applicable approval criteria for the requested zone change. The applicant also requests two adjustments for the specific development proposal, and with conditions, the adjustments meet all of the applicable approval criteria, and therefore the hearings officer recommends to you approval. Now we'll go to a very quick virtual tour. This is, in fact, this is precisely this main slide shows the two commercial lots to the south, and the arrow points to the actual site that is subject to this review. This view is looking northeast from the corner of 26th and Northeast Alberta. Here we're looking up further north, so you can see that Quonset set on the far right. The site is indicated by the arrow, and you can see how it starts to become homes further north. Northeast Alberta Street is zoned storefront commercial along both sides of the street in this area, with some R1 zoning that penetrates the commercial zones, so it interrupts those long stretches of commercial zoning. Here we're looking west along Alberta, just again at the intersection of Northeast 26th and Alberta. The block face just around the corner from this site is one of those situations where the CS zoning is interrupted with R1 zoning on the western end of the block. Northeast Alberta Street itself has had significant upgrades that includes crosswalks and extended curbs to enhance the pedestrian-oriented storefront commercial development along both sides of the street. Multiple bike racks along the commercial strip and bus service make the immediate neighborhood friendly for multimodal travel. Although there is a vibrant storefront commercial area along Alberta Street, there remain pockets of vacant land and opportunity sites along the street, such as this vacant parcel we see that's just southwest of the site subject to this request. This is a view of the site and the existing duplex that's on the site. Portions of the commercial lots to the south you can see here, where there are vehicles and some dumpsters that are stored there. And this is a view looking northeast, along Northeast 26th Avenue. And again, the site's indicated with the blue arrow. The existing duplex is proposed to be demolished and the site redeveloped with the three-story condominium building, the elevations I showed you earlier. Directly across from this site are two lots. They're non-conforming. It's a commercial use, but it got split-zoned when the storefront commercial line was drawn. And just north of that commercial building that you just saw is the parking lot that's associated with that commercial use. And again, it is non-conforming because of the zoning that was applied to this site. In summary, there were some concerns raised before the hearings officer, and they included impact to on-street parking. There was a concern raised that the current economy, will not support a condominium project. There was concern expressed that the units would therefore become rentals, And some of the neighbors testified to the hearings officer that they were concerned that renters are less inclined to go carless as compared to a condominium owner. There was lesser discussion, but some points raised. There were some concerns about the overall size of the proposed building and that there was a feeling that the bike parking was inadequate. The hearings officer considered these concerns but made findings that the on-street parking impacts would not be significant, that the number of units proposed were consistent with the requested zoning designation, and the market conditions is not a relevant approval criterion. The hearings officer found that the application, on balance, is supportive of the comprehensive plan goals and policies, and that all of the approval criteria are met, with two conditions of approval, one related to the retention of no less than two housing units on the site to preserve housing potential, and a condition regarding any future reviews. This concludes staff's presentation. Are there any questions for me?
Questions? Why was a CS zone, a commercial zone, proposed, not a multifamily zone?
That was discussed at the pre-app, and essentially given the zoning pattern in the area and one of the comprehensive plan goals, which is to make sure that the zoning pattern is consistent, the CS appeared to be the best request rather than put essentially a spot zone of higher density residential.
So was that after conferencing with staff?
Well, that was discussed at the pre-app with
staff,
the...
Did staff recommend that approach?
The applicant came in asking what the city would prefer to see here, and based on the zoning pattern, that was our response back to the applicant as they put together their application to come forward.
So the CS zone allows, I think, a 45-foot height, and this proposal is for 40 feet. None of the slides that we just showed any buildings that are that tall. Are there any in the vicinity that are that tall?
There are. Well, the block face I showed previously with the R1 zoning, that's a relatively tall building that's just around the corner. I can't tell you precisely what the height of that is, but I believe it's at least a three-story building. There's another building just south on the south side of Alberta around the corner to the east that I believe is also a three-story building. This is an area that I think it's safe to say that the development potential has not been fully realized along this particular stretch of Alberta.
What's the height limit in the R2.5 zone?
35 feet, I believe.
Okay. And we don't currently have anything in the code about solar impacts, is that correct?
Not for this review. There are no criteria that speak to that.
You mentioned about bike parking. What is the plan for bike parking? How many spaces did they propose?
I believe the plan submitted show four short-term bike parking spaces in front for visitors, and in the application there was narrative discussing long-term bike parking available in the building.
They'll be required to meet the new standards at one point.
I believe that is correct.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. But what about other parking? Because the slide showed that the streets are pretty parked up. Where will the cars of the residents go?
Well, that's a broader issue, and that is one of the concerns that was raised. I'll precursor that with a few comments, and then I think the transportation experts in the room can really delve into that in greater detail. But the storefront commercial zone does not require parking. Throughout the application, the applicant has talked about wanting to provide these units and encourage folks to go carless, be carless, because of its location so close to excellent transit service and the bike-friendly area.
And where the part of the write-up talks in terms of the comprehensive plan map change talks about family housing. Where will the children who live in these homes play? There's no outside area.
I would defer that to the applicant.
but that'd be something that I'd be interested in hearing about. And the issue of ownership in the R2.5 zone, that's considered a single family zone, right?
That is correct.
But the CS, we have no guarantees about what the ownership of this project will be, or the whether it'll be rental or condominiums.
That was an issue that was brought before the hearings officer, and he made findings that there's no criterion that speaks to ownership versus renters, that it's really, in the greater scheme of things, a condominium building is multi-dwelling housing, whether it's a condominium building or an apartment.
Thank you.
All right, let's hear from the supporters of the applicant.
You can hear from the applicant.
Oh, I'm sorry. First, the applicant. Do we have any opponents in the room?
Okay. My name's Sam Penfield, the owner of the property, and we've been working through this process for, I think, a little over 2 years at this point. And I really don't have any testimony, and I'm going to defer to the designer of the building, the traffic engineer, and my representative. But I would like to mention that we did an informal traffic study, and there were lots of parking spaces, and I won't speak on numbers. I'll leave that to Marcus to deal with that issue. And when I was looking at those slides, it looked to me like there was a lot of parking up and down those streets. As far as a place for the children to play, there's really not much of a yard there now at the duplex. The yard is pretty small. There are several parks close by, and the property is just not large enough to support a large play area. And that's really all I have at this point.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mayor, I just want to clarify, there's no one here to oppose this application?
No.
The Neighborhood Association sent a letter.
Okay. Supporters of the applicant?
My name is Marcus Pickrell, and I am the designer working with Sam Penfield and the various consultants. As Sam said, we've been working with this for a couple of years, and we actually started off, I'll make this quick too, we started off really trying to do our due diligence and research. What is in the spirit of Portland? I traveled and Sam traveled separately all over Portland, looking for ideas on new growth and new designs. And that's where we came up with this design. Of course, the challenge was the size of the lot. But we wanted to produce something that was very pleasing. And like I said, in spirit of where we thought we could see where the growth was going. As for the, as Sam mentioned, I did do over a two-week period informal. I went out to the site, traveled up one block and over half a block, not all the way, not parallel streets, but, and then I went up one block and different times of the day from morning to noon to late afternoon to, or mid-afternoon, and on up to about 9 o'clock at night of different days, including weekends. I took photos, and in fact, it was very similar to this, where I counted no less than 50 parking spaces at the most dense time, and I quit counting after I hit 90 as I walked around, where people in the various neighborhoods could park. I even talked to some of the people, because nice people, a few of them, about five of them, walked up and asked, you know, who I was and stuff, and I told them, and they were, I was received very nicely. And I wish this was a rendering in full 3D color to see what the building is going to look like. I think it's going to be very pleasing. Sam has a lot of pride in this, and he has kept me from taking any shortcuts, not that I would. And so we hope that we have accommodated everything that is being required. As far as children, as Sam said, this is a small lot, and the building on there now, it takes up most of the lot. We could have taken the building out to the street. We didn't. We held it back to allow for bicycle parking and little grassy areas. And so it's, and one more thing. Right now there's 4 bedrooms, and there's going to be 9 bedrooms with the new building. So it's a difference of 5. We're increasing the density by 5 bedrooms.
So,
you know, so as far as parking and so on, parking has been a concern. I've heard is a concern. 5 bedrooms is all it's increasing. So as far as how many people would be occupying this, I don't think it's going to increase it that much.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
I have one question if I could.
Sure.
I just want to clarify something. This is a 9-unit condominium proposal.
Correct.
And the average square footage of each unit?
Oh, my. The average square footage of each unit? Pardon me? 800 square feet.
And these are mostly one bedrooms?
There are one bedrooms. There are 6 one bedroom, 3 two bedrooms.
Okay.
3 two. No. I'm sorry. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah. 6, yeah. 6 one bedroom and 3 two bedroom.
Commissioner Fritz.
So that's 12.
12. I apologize for my, yeah. I actually went all the way through school and I did okay in math except for today.
It's late in the day.
Well, and I'm not.
Thank you. I'm going to blame it on that. No.
So maybe this is a question to come back for staff. I don't understand. The hearings officer said that this is includes family housing. I don't think most 2 bedrooms is still pretty. It's a small family if it's 800 square feet.
Multifamily refers to it just meaning more than a single family.
I do understand that, but there's a criterion in the comprehensive plan map amendment talking about family housing.
Right. It's probably not going to attract as many. It's not going to really attract children per se. We're thinking of more, professional couples and so on, and we purposely did it of that size so that it wasn't trying to provide huge housing for couples.
I was not aware that multifamily has a requirement of a certain number of bedrooms to qualify. I know in the pro-family housing, we created a bonus provision for 3 bedrooms and a certain footprint to encourage certain kinds of occupancy. But I'm not aware that multifamily has to be.
Can you come up and settle this for us? Anybody?
Quick primer on
anybody
that.
At all? Anybody at all? You're fine. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Multifamily, family-friendly, what's the criteria?
Multifamily would be a building that houses more than a individual unit.
Is the criteria multifamily or family-friendly?
Multifamily. You can have a broad range of units within a multifamily designation.
Any opponents to the applicant? There were no opponents, so no need to rebut, I assume. So now we're at council discussion. I'll entertain a motion.
Move to accept the hearings officer's
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded. Discussion.
I'm not going to support the motion, and I can explain why when I vote.
Okay. Carl, would you please call the vote?
Fish.
It's unusual in these proceedings not to have an opponent appear, but I understand that the Neighborhood Association sent us a letter, and some of the objections are stated in the hearing officer's report. And the hearing officer notes that a number of the concerns are not germane under the code, and others have been addressed. We have an affirmative policy of wanting to increase density where it's appropriate. This is a part of town that is growing, and there is certainly a shortage of housing in our city. I'm persuaded, based on the findings of the hearing officer, that on balance this meets the approval criteria, and therefore I vote aye.
Leonard.
Well, if there has been a letter sent, it's not been provided to me. I note that in the report that the council did get, that George Bruner, land use co-chair of the Concordia Neighborhood Association, testified that about the concerns that neighborhood association members have, but noted that the Concordia Association neighborhood had not taken a formal stand on the proposal. So I find that this application meets our criteria.
Well, Mayor, point of clarification, may I observe something since you asked us about ex parte communications and how we approach this? I have not received a letter from the Neighborhood Association. It's not in the packet that was presented to us. It's not in our formal materials. So that is not part of my consideration.
Did we get a letter?
Yeah, it was sent to us yesterday at 2:30 from Sue Parsons.
Boy, I wish we could turn things around that fast. Okay, keep voting, please.
That was aye. I'm sorry.
Aye.
Adam, I'm sorry, Fritz.
Thanks. So we did get the letter that is sent to us by email, as I mentioned in a previous hearing. I'm about 500 behind, so that I was looking for this particular one. I can't support this because I don't believe the approval criterion for Title 12 of the Urban Growth Management Plan for Protection of Residential Neighborhoods is met. Hearings Officer finds that because it abuts a CS zoning district, the proposal on balance meets the intent of this title. This means that all properties abutting this edge would therefore be allowed to change their zoning designation as well. And this is a comprehensive map amendment. This is not a zone change in compliance with the comprehensive plan. I don't believe it meets Goal 2, urban development, which in part requires that the change will retain the character of established residential neighborhoods and business centers. There isn't the step down between the commercial neighborhood and the with the height and bulk of this building and the lack of outdoor space, there isn't the step down to the surrounding 2.5 neighborhood, and it would dwarf the adjacent building. Again, using the logic, any development proposal could be granted approval for further incursion into the surrounding lower density neighborhoods, and the character of the established residential neighborhood is not respected. Without the zone change, there would be two allowed units on the property. And sure, having additional housing is a good thing, but the character of existing neighborhoods should not be pushed aside in the quest for housing, especially when a comprehensive plan map amendment is asked. No.
Adams.
I'm going to support the motion. I believe that the applicant has met the criteria under the code and as required by state law. So I vote aye. So approved. We are on to one more.
You have the ordinance. And if Commissioner Fritz is going to vote against the ordinance as well, it's an emergency ordinance. You might want to remove the emergency clause.
As a courtesy to the House, I will vote for it.
Okay, please call the vote.
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
With that stipulation, aye.
Adams.
Aye. We are adjourned for the week. Good job, team. I got to go do CRC now.
Oh my God.
Thank you. Jump on.